Welcome to the Trim Radio Network and My World with Stu Scheer. Happy New Year to everyone, and thank you always for listening in to the Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world. So come on over to the Trim Radio Network, where you can shop, you can message us right off of the board, and if you want to be a part of our team, just message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do. Anyway, that great song right there, Leave It to Beaver tune, that's covered under our BMI music license, 615-1658. And we have a call-in number, as always, 803-866-1667. You can call in, give us your opinion. No cussing, no swearing, that's all we ask. Anyway, without further ado, I'm leaving you to Stu. I'm going to eat some dinner. So, Stu, here you go. Oh, and the opinions expressed on our show are not necessarily that of its owners, managers, and or others, or the network. So keep that in mind. We inform, we don't advise, and do your own research. Anyway, Stu has his own disclaimer, so here it comes.
Here it is. Happy New Year, everybody. Well, I'll tell you what. Michael can go fang the food, gulp the groceries, maybe get something to eat. As for me, I've got a show to do, guys, and we have our own little disclaimer here. Nothing in the show should be considered as legal, medical, financial, or investment advice, and take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. And any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So you want to sit back, relax, and chill out. Oh, and by the way, tell your friends to join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. We're back on our regular schedule. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's been one crazy, well, Christmas and New Year's, and we'll talk a little bit about New Year's since Christmas is over with. But before we do that, I always do shout-outs, and a big shout-out to the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. Check us out. We've got a lot of good shows out there. Oh, Fishing in Florida, Catch 22. No, it's not Catch. It's Catch Point 22. And a lot of other shows, and we have fun doing them, and hopefully we can, well, educate you, talk about what's going on, and hopefully have a little fun doing it. But a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network. I've been doing shows like this for probably over 10 years, and I enjoy doing it. And Michael and I have worked before on another network, and we had a lot of fun then, too. So we just continue that. Well, a big shout-out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. I've always said it's a good school, which it is. And if you're looking to go to get additional education, past high school, you can go ahead and take a look at their two-year programs, their bachelor's degree programs, their master's degree programs, and their doctorates. And when you're starting to get into pharmacy and, of course, physical therapy, you have to have a doctorate for that. So it's a lot of work, a lot of intensive work, but it pays off in the end. They have a lot of good professors, a lot of good facilities. They're an NCAA Division II athletic conference school. And I'll tell you what, they do very well in basketball. And I'm getting ready to go up there towards the end of this month. And I'll go up on a Saturday to see one of their games. And I just love it because, hey, I was there when that building was built. Can you believe that? I believe 52 years ago. And I used to have fun going to the games there. After I graduated, I went to games there. It's a fun campus. It really is. You got to check them out. University of Findlay in Findlay, Ohio, www.findlay.edu. Also, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens on Facebook. He does a fantastic job. And Michael and I both have pens made by Phil at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And I'll tell you what, no pens go out of his shop until they are perfect. Great presentation pens. You know, he could make some really good presentation pens for University of Findlay or Bowling Green State University or any business, even Marathon Oil Company located in Findlay, Ohio. Check them out, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. On Facebook, also check us out, Money and Change. We will be live on Sunday night at 7 p.m. And again, check us out. We have a lot of different things we talk about, not just only money, but we also talk about preparedness. I like to do that on both of my shows. Not that I'm a prepper or anything like that, but what I do like to do is to say, are you really prepared for this big snow that we just had? How did you fare? We'll talk a little bit about that later. But it's always good to be prepared. Always good. Well, you know, we do this show tonight, My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever. And we do this on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And we always post on the Trim Radio Network, and we always invite people to join our group. And that's the best thing. We have a good group of people. We have a lot of listeners, and I've had listeners all over the world. Matter of fact, tonight I posted, we're live tonight at 8 p.m. Frohe Neue Jahr, German. How about Feliz Ano Nuevo? That's Spanish. Ay vauta vayota. That's Finnish. And new Ferisit. That's Romanian. Google Translate is really good. I can get by with a little German. I can get by with maybe a little Spanish. I can get by with maybe a little bit of French. Maybe Italian. I can read it. Speaking it in their language is tough for me for some reason. I guess I'm a good old English speaking person. But anyhow, Happy New Year to everybody. And I hope it turns out to be a really good new year. We need one for a change. Also, check out the Big Family Homestead on YouTube with Brad and Krista. Great people. They live out in the middle of Wisconsin where I know it's going to be cold and snowy. And they can have that. Also, the Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Boy, they're getting ready for cold weather down in Wiggins, Mississippi. And cold weather to them is not like cold weather to us here in Ohio. In Western Ohio, cold can get cold. And we can get down to 5 or 10 below zero in the worst case scenario. But down in Wiggins, Mississippi, I don't think you'll get any more than a -2, but -2 to them might be feeling like 30 below. So, but in the summertime, they make up for it. Boy, does it get hot down there. You could cut that with a butter knife. But anyhow, a big shout out to Danny and Juan the King. Southern Prepper One, hey, we've got Dave Kobler. And Dave is doing Boots on the Ground and talking a lot about stuff going on. Right now, he was just finishing up on, I believe it was a 100-foot long barn. And he was just putting on the metal siding. And he was explaining about how he's prepping because things, according to him, could get bad. And so we want to follow Dave Kobler on YouTube, Southern Prepper One. Prepper Nurse One, hey, he's down in West Virginia, and he's having to put up with everything. And I'll tell you what, West Virginia is a lot warmer than northern New York. And hopefully he gets acclimatized to it. Ohio's a little bit farther north than West Virginia. And for me, it's about a three-hour drive to West Virginia, about a two-hour drive to Kentucky. And I think it's about a three-hour drive to Tennessee. And it's nice country down there. It really is. Great people. Fantastic people. Well, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. And, you know, I don't know about you, but do you remember New Year's Eve when you were growing up? Do you really remember what all went on? Did you care? Well, I'll tell you what, when I was growing up, 1950s and 60s, New Year's Eve was like, okay, you get to stay up to midnight, and then you have to go to bed after the ball drops in Times Square or, you know, whatever's going on in your town. And I used to have fun staying up till midnight, but then at midnight, boy, bedtime now. And that was the command, and it was followed. And then later on, you know, when I got into high school and stuff, my parents used to have New Year's Eve parties. And of course, when it hit midnight, sorry, time for bed. And they used to party until about 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. And then I got older and I was in college and I didn't stay up way late, maybe till about 1 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day. Did I party much? No, I wasn't really much of a party person. I kind of sat back and relaxed a little bit. You know, we watched a little bit of TV or played games or whatever. But when midnight came around, it's like, time to go to bed. I'd had it. Then you get into the 80s and, you know, you're out on your own. You're making some money. And people say, well, come on over to the house for the party. So you go over to the house and you might have a few drinks and eat a lot of food. And then finally you're home by about 2 o'clock in the morning. And New Year's Day is a long day. And then the following day it's back to work. And that always happens. And now that it gets up and it's at 2023, and I never thought that I'd still be up at midnight, but I was. Now in my town, they have, it's kind of a quiet celebration type thing, and we're kind of laid back, but the city decided to have fireworks right at midnight. Well, I live up kind of on the upper part of the town, not down in the river valley. And I really couldn't look out and see all the fireworks because they were probably a mile and a half, 2 miles away. But I could hear them. And they kept going and going and going. And then another neighborhood, probably about 3 or 4 blocks over, they started shooting off theirs. And then somebody else started shooting things. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, it's starting to quiet down a little bit. And I think everybody's trying to get home as quick as they can so the cops don't pick them up for, you know, having a little bit of merriment. And I just decided, okay, I've had it. I'm going to bed. And people are thinking, God, he's old. He doesn't stay up late. Well, the fact of the matter is you have to get up at your normal time the next day, and, you know, 7-8 o'clock rolls around and you have to get up and get things going. And it's just one of those things. Did you have a party where you were at? How many friends did you invite over? You know, I've been to a party where we've had, I believe, 25, 30 people over for a party. And that was quite an ordeal. And cleaning up after it, boy, if the party lasts until 2, you want to leave at 1 so you don't have to clean up all that mess, because it can be gigantic. But a lot of people are, you know, they have a good time. Sometimes they just sit and watch TV. You know, back in the old days, they would have Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians, and they were playing this real funky type of music with these, I don't know how you call it, with the saxophones. I think it was a saxophone band to begin with. But everybody would see them on New Year's Eve for years and years and years. I didn't exactly like that music. And in some cases, you know, they started changing things around. And I'll tell you what, New Year's Eve, I went to turn on the TV. I'd been doing some research on the web and doing some things around the house. And I just turned on the TV, and next thing you know, it's a CBS station. And it was country and Western music. I wasn't brought up on country and Western, and I could not figure out why a bunch of grown-up people would be standing around dressed as cowboys and cowgirls in New York City, or Memphis for that matter. But anyhow, they had a celebration. I watched the ball come down, and I said to myself, okay, it's time to go to bed. And I did. Trying to sleep amongst all the fireworks going off. But hopefully you had a good New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. You know, watch some football, watch the parades and stuff. And then we got an extra day because somehow the government said, well, since it's on a Sunday, we'll give everybody Monday off too. Can you imagine that? They get an extra day. Well, sometimes postal workers, they really need it. But now they're playing catch-up ball and working late to get things delivered. So they have my sympathy. But I'll tell you what, at least people got a chance to say, hey, we're done with 2022. It's been a crazy year. And all talks about the jab and about this, that, and the other, and people flopping over for no reason. People getting sick for no reason. Other things popping up. The economy wasn't good. All the prognostications about 2023 not being good and everything else. You know, we had to listen all through basically December. And now it's over with, and now we're in 2023. So what's going on right now? You know, I was following things on places like Twitter, and I have a Twitter account, but I really don't write anything in Twitter, but I see what's going on with the news, and I get to see what's going on. And, you know, when I hit that button and it was talking about what is a 15-minute city, I was going to talk on that later, because you can get all kinds of information off of Twitter and you sort through and see what's real and what's not real. And it's interesting. But we'll talk about the 15-minute city here in just a little bit. Well, anyhow, you take a look at what's going on in the world with the politicians, and I listen to all these politicians get together, and the House hasn't even picked a a Speaker of the House, and they're fighting over that, and they don't want a certain person in there, and they can't get the right vote for a number of people to get this person in. And little politics things, you know, they need to rise above it all and say, okay, we are going to elect somebody that's going to do what's right for the country. It's messed up. We know it's messed up. And you have different shades of gray, and everything's all messed up with the government, and the government's spending so much money. And they don't have any money to back it up, so that means they're going to roll out and print more paper. And down in Cincinnati, Ohio, I believe they approved, I think it's $1.6 billion for a new bridge across the Ohio River, which has been needed for years, and nobody would ever do anything. Well, it finally, the money was appropriated. Now they're going to do it. And it might be until 2030 until the thing is finally done. Who knows? But at least they're going to have a bridge down there, because the traffic in Cincinnati is horrendous. I-75 is a nightmare sometimes. I used to drive it every day. And then when I lived over on the west side, or on the east side of Cincinnati, rather, I would take I-71 in to downtown where I worked, and that was a nightmare. And it was just one of those things. But Cincinnati, now they're going to be getting a bridge. Another thing about the football player from Buffalo Bills that was hurt, that was, I heard about that and I thought, boy, that's tough. And he got tackled at a time when that type of tackle would stop a heart. And football gets rough. And after looking at some of the replays of it, it wasn't really a bad hit. But he just stood up and then fell over backwards. And the more I've learned about what went on, they had an excellent ambulance crew there. They had doctors and so forth to handle it. And the National Football League, they have highly trained people to handle emergency situations for their football players. And it was something else to see the people in Cincinnati, you know, were really praying for the guy and had great medical care. And they took him by ambulance up to the University of Cincinnati Hospital, where they do fantastic work. That used to be one of my facilities, believe it or not, when I worked in Cincinnati. Great hospital, big, really big hospital. And the School of Medicine for the University of Cincinnati is also in that facility. So he got really good treatment, and hats off to those guys for, you know, doing a really good job. Now, he's not out of the woods yet, but hey, he will be. And he's going to have some rehabilitation to get through the stuff that it happened, not breathing and then getting back. And now I think his breathing was 50% today. A 50% level at WLW TV in Cincinnati. So we wish him well, but the people in Cincinnati were really nice and sincere about everything, and they were all praying for him down there. And that's one of the nice things about Cincinnati. The bad thing is the traffic. So eventually maybe they'll get their bridge, and all that traffic won't have all the traffic jams and accidents on it that they would normally have with the current bridge that's there. But all that is going on, you know, and you take a look at everything else in the United States with the budget. Oh, man. The budget is crazy. They spend more money than they take in. And we have a big national debt. And when I was in high school, I had a teacher one time says, oh, well, that's okay. We can have a big national debt because it's just money we owe ourselves. Well, that was back in the 60s. But I told the teacher, I said, but eventually you have to pay it back. Eventually you have to pay things back. And he said, no, 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 you don't have to do that. It's modern economics. Well, if I gave him a loan of money, I would expect to be paid back. Under modern economics, he never really has to pay it back. So there are, I'm left holding the bag. Oh, well, you know, I've taken some economics classes when I was in college. Sometimes I always wondered why they thought the way that they thought. It's always supply and demand, and that determines your prices. And no need to get into charts and everything. Oh, that just drove me nuts. All those charting this and charting that. Oh, well. Anyhow, did you know that the snowstorm that came through, were you prepared for that? You know, our wind chill here where I live in Ohio, Western Ohio, was about 20 to 22 below zero. But I really didn't feel it that much. I was prepared. My HVAC system wasn't even a year old. Matter of fact, it was 9 months old. And I have an Eden Pure electric heater. And I can use that. I had battery power packs if I needed that because the power went out. No problem. I had extra batteries and I had flashlights positioned around the house. So if I needed them, I would have them. I had plenty of batteries. I had food. I had the ability. I could take the gas grill and move it out on the front drive and cook on it if I had to. Or I could use the electric stove, or I could use the microwave. It just depends. I was prepared. I had stuff to, you know, water to drink. I was happy. But then I look at some people that are over in other states where this stuff came through, and they weren't prepared. And I'm thinking, my God, I've been telling people for probably over 8 years to be prepared for a crisis. And this was a crisis. It was cold out. I didn't go out for 3 days. It drove me nuts. I always like to be on the go doing different things, but I couldn't because it was cold out. The phones worked, the lights worked, the water works, everything worked, and that was great. Our power didn't go out. In some places it did. For hours or even days. And so you have to be prepared for things. And so what I was telling people to do, if they did it, they were fine. If not, they were in a world of hurt. So when I talk about preparedness on the show, or any of the two shows I do, take it to heart. Because eventually something's going to happen, and it's going to be a big major emergency. You won't have power, you won't have water, you won't have light, etc. And you'll be in a world of hurt. And who's going to come and fix it? It's not going to be the federal government trying to fix it. And if they do, they'll screw it up one way or another. They always do. So you have to be prepared yourself. Now, to the people that were trying to fix everything, like the guys on the electrical power distribution team and so forth, they did a fantastic job. The guys repairing the streets or fixing streets or whatever, they did a fantastic job. You know, a big pat on the back to those guys out there working in below zero weather, repairing power lines or water lines, whatever. It would drive me nuts. I don't think I could do that. But, you know, big pat on the back to those guys. And hopefully in 2023, they won't have to do a lot of it. At least that's what I'm hoping. Well, you know, the weather was something before Christmas, just before Christmas. And trying to get through all that. Now, out in California, an article came through, Joel McLaughlin from the Epoch Times. And Joel said the California snowpack is highest in 40 years, according to the officials. Well, is the drought over? Well, you never know. But what the article said was the snowpack levels in California's mountains were at the highest level in 40 years, January 3rd. But time will tell whether the latest storms will help deliver enough water to the state to end a three-year drought streak. Now, California's snowpack was measured at 174% of the historical average for the year this past Tuesday, and boosted by recent storms that drenched the state during the holiday and brought new snow to the mountains. Well, that's a good sign because all the reservoirs are really low. And maybe we can start generating power again. We could even grow more crops, and that's what we need to do. Anyhow, the article said the state could see even more rain and snow this week and into the weekend, bringing much needed water supplies. And a person from the California Department of Water Resources said, while we see a terrific snowpack, and that in and of itself may be an opportunity to breathe the sigh of release, we are by no means out of the woods when it comes to drought. So they're going to need a lot more snow up in the mountains. The snowpack in Phillips, California, I believe that's up in the Sierra Mountains, is at 177% of the average, which was measured at about 55.5 inches, which was enough to store 17.5 inches of water, according to Sean DeGuzman, manager of the department's Snow Surveys and Water Supply Forecasting Unit. Boy, 177%. Oh, man. That's a lot of snow. That's a lot of, I don't know what I would be able to do with it if I had that much snow around. You know, I had a friend of mine that owned a campground up in Munising, Michigan, up way up in the mitt, up north. And he'd get 3 or 4 feet of snow on top of his cabins, and he would have to shovel the cabins to keep the heavy snow off the roof. And he said that was just a thing that you had to do. But we need a lot of snow and rain out west. I mean, it is really in need of it. Maybe 2023, something will happen. Now, another thing that came out, Sharon Bernstein and Steve Gorman, came out on Reuters. And it said another atmospheric river storm renews flood threat in California. So now they're having all of this rain and snow, and they're having flooding. And this happened in Sacramento, California. According to Reuters, the emergency crews braced for the next bout of high winds and torrential rains forecast to sweep California starting on Wednesday, which was today, renewing the threat of power outages and flooding that struck parts of the state over the New Year's weekend. The latest atmospheric river and airborne current of dense moisture flowing from the ocean was expected to drench much of California ahead of a Pacific storm, bringing additional showers to low-lying areas and more snow to the Sierra Nevada mountains through Thursday. When it rains, it pours, right? Well, they need water out there, and hopefully it can build up the reservoirs. But I wouldn't want to be out there right now. I have friends of mine that do live in Southern California. I don't know if they're receiving any rain at all. I do have friends in Arizona and elsewhere, out in Utah. So hopefully their reservoirs are filling back up and they're not hurt by snow. You know what happens during the winter months? You know, a lot of people go to the ER, the emergency room, or just about anything. And in the old days, we would just tough it. But now it's like you run to the emergency room. You can't get into your doctor's for maybe a couple of weeks, so you go to the ER. You go in there, and you don your mask, and you sit in the room, and you wait till somebody comes in and says, okay, what's your problem? I have a cold. I think I had the flu. I hurt my little finger. That's not what you use the emergency room for. There's a place here in town, I think it's called Wellness Now. A friend of mine had to use it for x-rays on his wrists and so forth. And it was just down the street, so he went in, and they had two slushy machines in the waiting room. And I'm thinking, what? Slushy machines in the waiting room? He said, oh, the stuff was great. You had your choice, orange or lemon. It's fantastic. And I thought, okay, how was the job? He says, the x-rays turned out right. They were really friendly, really nice. And, you know, it's good that they're open 24/7 or almost 24/7. And he said he really likes the place. And he says, those slushies are really good. I said, well, are you going to make it a habit going in there? Because you might be able to get a free slushie after 5 visits. And he said, well, I don't know. Well, the other one that I have to go to, which is out towards I-75, they don't give out free slushies. I mean, they have vending machines, but they don't give out free slushies. I think they better start doing that. Well, you know, we had a lot of stuff happen with the, you know, the Wuhan flu and all that stuff. And healthcare workers are starting to cry foul on FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, claiming it didn't prohibit ivermectin for COVID-19. A lot of people have been talking about that. Well, Katie Spence through Epoch Times. I don't know why I'm picking on Epoch Times tonight. Maybe that's just the way it goes. But Dr. Yousef Salebi, S-A-L-E-E-B-Y, has practiced medicine for more than 30 years. He serves patients in South Carolina and until recently had never faced an investigation from his state medical board. But after Salebi started prescribing ivermectin to his patients, he was reported to the board, which opened an investigation despite the state's attorney general's promise that his office wouldn't prosecute doctors who prescribe off-label medications. Jennifer Wright, a nurse practitioner and a clinical director who practices in Florida, but can prescribe across state lines, told Epoch Times she received a letter from the Office of the Attorney General of New York ordering her not to prescribe ivermectin. And I'm reading a quotes thing here. It says, basically threatened me. If I don't stop prescribing, then they're going to fine me, Wright said about the letter, which threatened legal action with fines up to $5,000 per violation. And the letter stated that the Food and Drug Administration only authorized ivermectin for use in humans when treating parasitic worms head lice, and skin conditions like rosacea. And the citation in the letter appears to be from an FDA advisory issued March of 2021, titled Why You Should Not Use Ivermectin to Treat or Prevent COVID-19. I've listened to Greg Hunter and the people on his show, very knowledgeable clinical doctors, saying that if you take ivermectin, you're basically going to have the flu for about 3 days and it's over with. And there are other things to take with it, according to everything that they've talked about. And, you know, if ivermectin works, it works. If it doesn't work, I had problems with it. I had a prescription for a doctor out of state for ivermectin when all the bug stuff was going around. And it was legally done. It was sent into the pharmacy, and Kroger said, nope, we're not going to fill it. I said, why? Well, the doctor's out of state. Doesn't make any difference. It's there. It's signed, and he's legal. Doesn't make any difference. We're not going to fill the prescription. Okay. So I walked out of there thinking, I might change from CVS or from Kroger's to CVS or some other pharmacy. I was so angry at him. Here, there is a cure or a remedy for something, and they won't prescribe it. In other words, it's too cheap. They want you to buy the expensive stuff that may or may not work. And I see all this stuff about the flu and everything, and people are saying young people can get the flu, but they're over it in a couple of days because their immune system is built up. And I'm hearing from other people who are chiropractors and so forth that, you know, all these other medications that you're getting tear down your immune system and you need to build it back up. Well, some people told me, hey, look, if I was you, and I'm not a doctor, they were nurses. They said, look, take vitamin D3, and they told me the amount. Take zinc and vitamin C, and you'll be fine. So I did. I never caught the flu. I caught a cold, but I never did catch the flu. So there might be some truth to it. It may work. Who knows? But the articles are starting to come out now. Some people are saying that, oh, now people are waking up to getting the jab, if you know what I mean. And they're saying that, okay, it didn't work. I'm having health problems for it. And now I'm going to sue. Well, they couldn't sue anybody because it was a trial drug. A bunch of loopholes and stuff. And then you see athletes just falling over for no reason. You know, get heart exertion and so forth, and they just keel over. Did they get the jab? Or was it a congenital condition? You don't know until they release the information. But I often wonder, am I a trial? How do I want to put it? Am I a lab rat, a lab chimpanzee, and they're testing stuff on me without me knowing what the results are? Gee, Happy New Year. Am I going to come up and say, oh, gee, guess what? Doc just gave me a shot. I feel really great. 2 days later, I'm in the ER wondering why my heart's going nuts or why I've got a head twitch and my legs don't work. You know, I don't know. It's scary. I don't want to be a lab rat. I don't like to have stuff. The doctor says, well, we're going to give you some experimental drugs.
You have relatives in Germany? Hmm?
No, sorry, guys. I wonder about that. Maybe the best way to go is maybe homeopathic or naturopathic way. you know, nature gives us remedies for different things. She also gives us poisons. You have to determine between the two. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and listen to Dr. John Bergman. True Health Tuesdays is what he does. He makes a lot of sense. And there are other doctors out there too. And I like to listen to him because I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express one night. But that's about as far as it goes. But hopefully things are going to get better in 2023. It's got to. Take care of yourselves. Make sure you're taking your vitamins, your minerals. Make sure if you're taking meds that you're taking the right meds. Talk to your doctor. If you have any adverse effects, then you need to get that taken care of. And get out and get sun and air, oxygen, okay? Get out and enjoy the outdoors, especially when the weather here in Ohio is like 61 today. I couldn't do it. I had a doctor's appointment. So here I am stuck with that. And then I had to go different places and pay for things that we needed to get. So, but get out and be healthy. You know, walk, get the air, get the blood rushing through your system. Make sure you're taking your meds, taking your vitamin C, your vitamin D3, your zinc, and what quercetin or whatever else you take. And do that for 2023, and hopefully we'll all be around by 2024. I'm planning on it. Well, at least I'm hoping to be there. Hey, there was an article that came out, Global Financial System is a Rube Goldberg machine. Have you ever seen a Rube Goldberg machine? He would always come up with something that would be crazy, and I think I put this on the Facebook page. And what the Rube Goldberg machine was, he thought of ways on how to mail a letter. And so he built a device that strapped onto the guy. And the guy had his hands in his pocket and he's walking down the street and a ball goes into a basket and that is connected to a lever. The lever pulls a watering can. The watering can does something to cause his tail of his jacket to drop down, lift up, or whatever. And then it triggers another device, which opens a bird cage. The bird comes out. It sees a worm coming out of the guy's hat that was hung over in the guy's face. And the bird sees the worm, and the bird goes down and grabs the letter and puts it in the mailbox. That's the Rube Goldberg thing. Check it out on YouTube. Crazy devices people come up to just do a simple thing, just to put a letter in a mailbox. But that was what Rube Goldberg did. And there's always a better way to do things. And I don't think Rube Goldberg actually did it. You know, the article said that, simply put, the global economy is like a Rube Goldberg machine. These are goal-oriented contraptions built in a ridiculously complicated way to perform what would normally be a simple task. And history shows that we often have no idea what is driving events until long after they have transpired, and even then the picture is blurred. According to the article, the lens by which we peer at events is firmly controlled by those with an agenda. I would look at the man behind the curtain. Remember the Wizard of Oz? You know, it used to come out in black and white, and then at the end of the war, then it came back in color, and you had the Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Lion, and you had the Wizard behind the curtain pulling the strings and so forth. It was an interesting thing. Oh, the Scarecrow. I have to add the Scarecrow and Dorothy and Toto. I mean, I used to watch that show every time it comes out. I mean, even when I was in college, I liked that show. For some reason, it was just interesting the way that they did things to make that look like it was alive. And it was interesting. It still is today. I mean, the technology to do the color and the little people and the Wicked Witch of the West. Would that be Nancy Pelosi? I don't know.
Hey, come here, my pretty. I'll get you.
Well, anyhow, oh, that's a lousy imitation. Sorry about that, guys. The financial system is highly complicated. And no matter whether you study economics or whatever, watch your money. 2023 could be an expensive year, according to a lot of experts. You're noticing it when you go to buy groceries. You're noticing it when you're buying gasoline or diesel fuel, especially diesel fuel. You're seeing higher prices when you're buying clothes. You know, I used to see shirts that were $50. Oh, but we have a sale. They're down to 25. Well, they were originally probably 27, then they dropped the price to 25. But you're not seeing that now. And that's scary because money counts. This past week, last Friday, I went into total hysterics. My blood pressure was up as of Saturday. The banks were closed. I lost my ATM card. I could not figure out where it was. I went in total panic. I went through my car. I went and checked all my clothes. I went and checked my coats, everything. Then I thought of every place I had been, which was only a couple of places. Well, I couldn't get a hold of them because they were closed. So sure enough, Monday they were open and I went and I said, did you find an ATM card? No. Well, the banks weren't open. I was still in panic. My blood pressure was almost to the breaking point. I mean, it was a bad scene. Finally, the banks opened up on Tuesday. I went in and I saw my favorite person at the bank. I said, can you do me a favor? She says, come on in, sit down. I told her what happened. She says, okay. Gets on her computer, cancels the card. And she says, I'll give you one more card. Brand new card, issued out. We'll take care of the password, everything else. You're set to go. The card's good. I said, thank you. I said, you don't know all of the stress I was under over the weekend. And now I watch exactly what I do with what card I use, and I make sure it goes specifically back to the place in the wallet where it should be. I make sure several times. I'm like neurotic over that stuff. But 2023 could be a rough year. Now, there was a report on Zero Hedge, and actually it came out of the Baltic Index. And it said, the Baltic Index crashes most on record as recession alarm flashes. And so the Baltic Exchange dry bulk sea freight, in other words, the Baltic dry index, freight index crashed on Tuesday in the worst decline on record, sinking on prospects of global recession. Baltic dry good index is a measurement of global shipping and economic health. And the overall index, which tracks rates for capsize, Panamax, and Supramax shipping vessels carrying dry bulk commodities plunged 17.5%. That's scary. And they always say when you're checking how the economy is, check the Baltic dry freight or the Baltic exchange dry rate. You have to do that. And I'll tell you what, Hopefully, it's just a glitch. But do me a favor, please. You know, we're getting ready to get out of here as the first show of 2023. Pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy long-term food, whether it's in canned goods or freeze-dried or whatever. Make sure you have your medications to get you through. Make sure you have appropriate clothing. Make sure that you're able to purify water and store it. Prepare. It's going to get scary, guys. It's going to get scary. And if I can help you to realize what's happening, if the Baltic Dry Index doesn't scare you, maybe the banks will scare you later on. You have to be prepared. And hopefully, we can all get through this as long as we just don't panic. You know, somebody told me today, I think it was Glenn Beth, said put at least a month's money aside to pay your bills. My advice, and I'm not an economic genius or anything like that, but my advice is to put 3 months aside. Buy your long-term food. Prepare. You need batteries? Get batteries. If you need a generator, get a generator. If you can't afford them, don't go into debt. Try to find ways to work around it. But for God's sakes, don't go into debt. Get out of debt as soon as you can. If you got a house payment, a huge house payment, pay it down. Refinance it if you can and get it at a lower level. If you have enough money left over, you want to get into gold and silver because it's a hedge on calamities. Look at silver. But prepare because 2023 could be a very rough year. Hopefully it isn't. And hopefully we can get through the mess. And hopefully we have another show.
Well, hopefully so. we're doing fine. All right, Stu, that's it, man.
Pull the plug and next week we'll have the second show of the year. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
We've also got Money and Change coming up Sunday live.
Right. So I'll tell you what, guys. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network, and we'll see you on Sunday for Money and Change. God bless you all. Happy New Year to everybody. May be blessed, filled with God, filled with love, and safe. That's it. Anyway, take care, guys. God bless.
See ya. The book.